Hello, world. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show, the original personal computer radio show. I'm Hank Key in the studio of PRN.FM, and I have my sidekick with me, Joe King, on remote. Joe, are you there?
I am here. I'm standing here with my umbrella out on Times Square saying, I can't run between the drops. You said I could run between the raindrops.
I guess you got to lose some weight. The Personal Computer Show can now be heard on internet radio on PRN.FM, live on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen to the stream. You can join us on the air with your telephone calls at PRN.FM to ask questions, share opinions, make comments by calling a toll-free number, 888-874-4888. And tell your aunts, uncles, and whoever you want that we're now on PRN.FM. And if they tell you we don't have a computer, that's okay. If they tell you they don't have internet and they have a computer, that's okay. They can hear us also on the telephone, 712-775-6850. Now, that's if you happen to have unlimited phone call capability on your telephone. I don't want you to make a whole lot of long-distance call. And for those who may not, if you go to prn.fm, you will find that there's 12 different phone numbers that might be local to you. So give that a try. Joe, are you working that monsoon?
Now, I understand that some of those phone numbers are not considered long distance, so I don't really know how that works.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Joe, before we start with some important news for the past week, let me just make a statement that I know you've gotten quite a bit of mail, and I've gotten quite a bit of email. People who normally gets us on podcasts, and they want to know where can they get the podcast. They heard about it, and you go to prn.fm to get this show, or if you somehow get it mixed up because there are a number of different PRNs, I guess, you could go to pcradioshow.org. That's our website, and we will direct you to the podcast. And, hey, Joe, last week we had that Apple announcement, and I'm a little, I happen to be a camera buff. I've been taking pictures for a long time, and they talk about the iPhone 7 camera, the camera functions of it. I want to debunk it, okay? Let me just read to you what the PR release says. The iPhone 7 Plus features the same 12-megapixel wide-angle camera as the iPhone 7, and it adds a 12-megapixel telephoto camera that together offer optical zoom at 2x and up to 10x digital zoom for photos. That's not true at all. First of all, if you look at the lens, the wide-angle lens on the iPhone 7 is a 28-millimeter equivalent, and to a standard 35-millimeter camera, 28-millimeter is considered wide-angle, and that's from the 24 to 45-millimeter range. And the other lens is 56-millimeter, and in 35-millimeter standard, a normal lens is 35 to 55. That ain't no telephoto lens. It's a standard lens, and they call it a zoom lens. That's not a zoom lens. You either pick one, which is the 28-millimeter or the 56. There's nothing in between, but they call it a zoom.
Don't they have a software for a digital zoom, Hank?
That's a function of the camera. Now, first of all, let me tell you, they have a 10x digital. They claim they have a 10x digital zoom. Let me tell you, digital zoom is phony. It's not a magnification with no increase in detail information. Some people think that digital zoom is, it's a great thing, but I'm not one of them. All right, I personally don't see a need to ever use digital zoom. I think you're better off shooting without the zoom and then crop your photo afterwards. This is because digital zoom does not magnify the image, but it stretches the image, and that's a surefire way of losing clarity and image clarity. Joe, I know, we're sort of like, we're pre-digital camera age. We understand photography, I think. the other statement they made is that coming later this year, which is sometime October, November, or December, the dual 12-megapixel camera will enable you to have a new a feature called depth of field effect using both cameras to capture images. Now, Joe, What is depth of field to you in photography?
Well, the depth of field is a dependence on the focal length of the lens. I think it's, it tells me what range I'm going to have in focus from so many feet
right.
to so many feet.
And the larger the aperture is of the lens, the shallower is the depth of field. And that's good because this way you can take a picture of, a person, and then everything in the background is out of focus and everything before is out of focus so that you then focus on the subject. And that's the called the depth of field. And, of course, if you happen to have a longer focal length lens, like a telephoto lens, it gets even narrower. But they're saying that sometime later this year, using two lenses, they're going to achieve that effect. So it can equal the quality of a digital single lens reflex. Hey, I got news for you. A digital single lens reflex camera only has one lens on it. They don't have two lenses to give you depth of field. Where did it get this PR stuff from, Joe?
Well, the point being that if they started explaining how they're really going to use the two lenses in order to give you an increased resolution, then most of the people would fall asleep because it's way too technical for the people who are using a camera, using a phone as a camera. You might use your phone for snapshots, perhaps, but I know that you have about 15 or 20 professional-level phones in your closet, and you're going to use one of those instead when you go to a wedding. But people like me, they just whip I take my Samsung out of my pocket. The Samsung has considerably higher resolution than the Apple does, but it's still a telephone. And that is more than enough for me. I'm looking at the screensaver on my 20-inch monitor right now. It's a picture I took a couple of weeks ago. It's lovely. I enjoy it very much. I don't need more than that.
Well, one of the things I find disturbing is that many of the journalists, they're taken in by this, and some of them has interpreted this as having a 3D effect.
If Steve Jobs were still alive, God bless him, we would have called it the Steve Jobs reality distortion field. If you recall when he introduced in the first place the iPhone, he told us that it was going to be the most amazing video that we had ever seen, so I, of course, thought he was talking about high definition. I had to go back on the air the week after the press release to apologize to the audience because I had totally misunderstood what he was saying.
By the way, you had sent me an email just before I got into the studio, and in this article, they talk about the 10 great features of the new iPhone 7. And I said, okay, let me go through it. And the first great new feature is a slick black finish. That's a feature? Oh, you're laughing too.
I saw that same article you saw, Hank, and I had to smile. Yes, it has a much nicer black finish than the black finish on my black finished Samsung.
Well, I think the best black finish I've seen is on a Steinway piano. Belkin also made an announcement, and I'm scratching my head, and I'm saying, what the heck is this announcement? They caught a lightning audio charge rock star for the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus. And I looked at it, and they said that you can put your 3.5-millimeter jack into it. And I'm saying, wait a minute. No, it didn't say that. It said you could put the 3.5-millimeter adapter jack into it. That's a little different from putting a connector into it. And when you look carefully at it, it's a Y connector. What they did was they took the lightning port and created a Y connector, so you have two lightning ports, one for the charger and one for what? The Apple adapter that gives you the capability of using a 3.5-millimeter headset. Does that make sense to you, Joe?
Well, it's got a little bit more going for it than that, Hank. I saw the announcement and it didn't make a lot of sense to me. But there are some interesting electronics behind it which increases the quality of the signal that you're going to get. The adapter supports a 48 kilohertz, 24-bit audio output. And as well as remote control and mic support. for the Apple headphones. So it does give you a little bit extra. But because that extra little dongle, the one that's included in the iPhone box, is little and it might get lost, Apple is giving you a discounted replacement value of $9. And I think that's good, because I know sure as hell I'm going to lose it.
Well, you know, I could just see now someone with a new iPhone 7 Plus or 7 carrying the iPhone in the left hand, and somehow they have to carry the Belkin dongle adapter, and then they have the jack. And then, you know, I could see, like, in a lot of flea markets, people are using the smartphone to register sales, and they, you know, these people have to now be able to use the other lightning port for an AC charger. And I could see this is not very important.
You're saying that it's just going to get too damn much, too complicated. And you may be right, but you're forgetting one thing. Never, 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 Hank, should you condemn somebody else's religion.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a religion. It's not a product. By the way, Joe, I will be... I want to talk about HP acquisition of the Samsung printer business, but I just want to alert the listeners that I will be talking about two subjects, and I've been getting a lot of requests in the email, and some of them said, "Look, I procrastinated. I didn't get that free Windows 10 upgrade. Can I still get it? If yes, how do I do it?" And then the other question I've been getting is, hey, I got the upgrade. I want to reinstall Windows 10 because it crashed. Where do I get that Windows 10? So if you happen to have that kind of a question, we're going to be taking phone calls at 888-874-4888. And as I go through it, you may want to interrupt and ask a question and say, what about this? Or I have this. Would it work with that?
So, let me ask you again for that number. It went by too fast. I couldn't jot it down.
Okay. It's 888-874-4888. Let me repeat it one more time. 888-874-4888. By the way, we should offer a prize for someone who can come up with an anagram of that in letters, huh?
We'll give them a wonderful prize. I don't know what it'll be yet. But, folks, if you have a question about anything Hank's talking about, feel free to interrupt him by calling that number, and then he'll answer your point while he's talking.
You know what? I think I know what the prize is going to be, okay? Well, let me just jump ahead and say that if you procrastinated, you didn't get a free copy of Windows 10 because of the upgrade, and now you're looking to downgrade it. I have the capability of making it available to you. And for those who call in, and if they can come up with a good question, or if they can come up with a good anagram, I'll send you a copy to meet your, you know, that matches your hardware. How's that?
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
If I do that, I have to ask Jesse, who's engineering now, to offline write down the person's phone number so I can call them back for their address. Okay, let me just say that there was a major acquisition announced, and that's HP, and they are buying the Samsung printer business for $1 billion. That's a lot of money, and with it, they basically. Samsung is selling off their printer division, and with it is not only the business itself, but 6,500 patents and 1,300 workers of researchers and engineers. And I could see HP now really getting into that high-end market where enterprise companies and so on. By the way, Joe, you know, back in the 1960s, there was a huge... argument I know in the journals talking about the paperless society. We seem to be printing, we're still printing, except that we're not printing maybe photographic prints, but we're still printing a lot.
And it's funny, Hank, shortly after we went on the air the first time in 1983, there was there was a magazine called Programmer's Journal, and the issue, I think it was the August or perhaps the September issue of that in 1983, had a front page headline, "We will have a paperless office right after we have a paperless bathroom."
You know, I have a funny feeling that people are using the printer for things that was, you know, that it's different now. Because, you know, I find that the people are printing their own Christmas cards, their greeting cards. They're not buying, you know, they don't go down to the local store to buy cards anymore. Now they print their own. I know that with special occasions, people are printing special invitations, customize it. So as much as we say that printing, the way we see it, is going to go down, like with digital photography, most people don't print the pictures anymore, but you find that there are other things that people use the printer for. So that's going to be interesting. But
I've got to say that they weren't just buying the Samsung printer business, because the Samsung printer business included over 6,500 related patents, mm-hmm, and a workforce of 1,300 researchers and engineers. So, you know, they might be very happy with the printers that HP makes, but they wanted to buy Samsung's company for a different reason.
Oh, yeah.
The researchers.
Well, to me, the question is, those 6,500 patents, what are they worth and what are they? That should be interesting. By the way,
obviously, HP thinks that they're worth $1 billion.
Well, I don't know, but HP also announced a 3D printer, too. It's called the Jet Fusion 3D, and it's not a cheap printer, but I understand it's a magnitude. Magnitude means 10 times at least faster than the consumer 3D printers, you know, that small, you know.
It also cost a magnitude more.
No, I think it's more than the magnitude. It's I think it starts at $130,000, and you could buy, you know, 3D printers now for $500-$600.
If you'd like one, I'll buy two. When I get mine, I'll give you one.
Well, you know, those little small printers, you know what's been holding them back? They've been printing chess pieces. You know, some people want something, you know, much larger, and they cost a lot more.
It's at this point, I'm sorry, I'm very disappointed in where it is right now. I think in the very near future, it'll be a worthwhile product. The technology is interesting, but I don't need to spend that many hundreds of dollars to make a chess piece. I can go into the store and buy them.
Yes. Actually, I find that 3D printing is really have made great strides in the health area. In other words, they're able to come up with customized parts for the body. Because as individuals, you know, they talk about normal, what is normal, but no one is normal. Everyone is slightly different in build, and using a 3D printer to come up with something that matches. But I think that the biggest thing is in space, because even if it's something that's a little tiny bolt, okay, it's impossible to carry every replacement part into space, and you're better off just be able to create it on the spot when you need it. So I could see that as being a big boom in that area. Hey, listen, I've been talking about, you know, Windows 10, and by the way, I know, Joe, in your case, you have not upgraded to Windows 10 yet, right?
No, I haven't on any of my machines. I'm running XP on two of them and 7 on two of them. My main machine, my desktop machine, is still running 7. I'm perfectly happy with it. But the reason I'm so happy with it is because I know when I'm ready, you'll be able to give me 10.
Well, the answer is yes, and let me just make a comment on that, okay? If you want the free upgrade for Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 to Windows 10, of course, if it's from Microsoft, the deadline has come and passed, and, well, it's been pulled down from the various websites. However, there are some websites that still have the full version of Windows 10 build 1511. Now, I keep referring to a build 1511 is that when they officially introduced Windows 10, it was in November of 2015, so they called build 1511. And These websites, they have it for Home 32 or N64 bits, as well as Windows 10 Pro for 32 and 64 bits. Now, if you happen to have an official copy of this that matches your current Windows operating system, you can still upgrade even though the cutoff date by Microsoft has passed. I see some people say, well, you can move the calendar back. You don't have to. I upgraded a machine in August, which is past the deadline, and I was connected to the internet. No problem at all. If you have a full distribution copy of Windows 10 build 1511, you can still do it. Now, a question that I'm often asked is, you talk about 32-bit and 64-bit. What do you mean by that? Well, virtually all hardware now is 64-bit, but in the earlier days, like with the Atom chip, it was a 32-bit processor, and so they had the Windows operating system called 32-bit operating system, and then for the more efficient processors, they had a 64-bit operating system. And there are some programs that can only run with a 32-bit operating system and not in a 64. So there was a lot of people with a lot of 32-bit operating systems installed. So how do you know what you have? What you do is you navigate to the system page in the Windows operating system, and the screen information will tell you whether you have Home or Pro, and it will also tell you whether you have a 32-bit or 64-bit operating system. Now, those with Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 Enterprise, in other words, they got it through the company or through a company plan, you don't have to look any further. The upgrade will not work with them. Unfortunately, you have to go back to the administrator of the company or the school or the union and say, I want to get Windows 10. Now, is it possible to download build 1511 from the internet from other sources? Yes. Sites that have it available, however, are largely unknown to me. And almost all of these sites, in fact, virtually everyone I've gone through, they have a preamble in the download. What do I mean by preamble? You want to download that? You got to go through hoops, and you got to download things that you don't want. They make you go through a download manager. There's no requirement for a download manager. The purpose of a download manager is they ship other pieces of software, and they don't ask if you want it or not. They install it. Or some of them, when they ask you, they give you the double negative, thinking that you don't want it, and you end up installing it. That's one part of it. The other part I find is that I figure out why they have it, okay? Just about all of the downloads that you have available that you can get are enhanced versions. What do I mean by enhanced version? What it is that the original release that was given by Microsoft is an ISO file. The ISO is a binary file, and what you do is you use a program to then create the distribution on either a DVD or on a USB flash drive, and a bootloader gets attached to it, and the image file is broken down into different subdirectory files. And so to get around that, some of them have combined 32-bit, 64-bit for Home together. Some people have combined the 32-bit, 64-bit for Pro. Some people have combined Home and Pro for 32. Some people have combined Home and Pro for 64. And some of them combine the operating system with some piece of software I don't even know what it is. And when you install it, you wish you'd never downloaded it, okay? So now, as a Windows Inside tester, I did download all the official Windows 10 build 1511 releases. There are like about 11 different copies, but only four of them are really the ones that you're looking for. You want to be able to get the 1511 Home 32, 1511 Home 64, and similarly for the Pro version. That's four different copies. They are available, and our website, pcradioshow.org, will direct you to the four popular versions of the Windows 10 upgrade. And
you realize, of course, Hank, that with all of your description of the 1511 variations, just about everybody is totally confused now.
Well, why don't you explain it the way you understand it?
Oh, I have a very simple thing, and I'm sure you don't want me to tell you.
No. No home numbers, okay?
My solution to this problem is to call Hank and say, help.
Well,
I have both of his phone numbers, his cell and his home, and if you send me a check made out to cash...
You know, you sound like Soupy Sales, you know, telling kids, you know, go into your daddy's pocket and take out a dollar bill and put an envelope and send it to me. You remember that? Now, what I'm saying is that if you still want to be able to upgrade from 7, 8, or 8.1, either home or pro, and you want to get the free copy of it or, the you know, free, is let us know. And if you go to
PC... How can they let us know?
Well, first of all, there's two things. You go to pcradioshow.org, and we'll direct you where to go, okay? If, however... you know, you want something more specific than that? I think we can help you on it. All right.
Okay.
By the way,
send a piece of email to pcradio@gmail.com. You can also contact us on Twitter at pcradio 212. Either pcradio@gmail.com, Twitter is pcradio 212.
Now, for those who have upgraded, I always ask them, and in fact, some of them already come to me. They say, I upgraded, and they were originally told that when you upgrade, like, say, Windows 7 to Windows 10, it moves everything that you have in the old operating system to a subfolder called or subdirectory called Windows.old or Windows.old. And originally, Microsoft said, if you don't revert back to the old operating system in 30 days, they delete that automatically, whether you want to delete it or not. And one of the things that we were telling people is that, well, if you were to copy out that subdirectory onto an external drive, at least you have a copy of it. And then recently they changed that to 5 working days. In other words, they want to make sure you stay on Windows 10. And some people who've been playing around Windows 10, obviously, you know, you do crazy things and you go to different sites and you say, hey, I shouldn't have downloaded that piece of software. I've got malware on it. I want to, you know, reinstall it. And they no longer have that Windows.old subdirectory. And one person actually called me up and say, how do I reinstall Windows 10? I don't have a copy of Windows 10. Well, there's a way of doing it, okay? Go to a working machine that, you know, that's free of viruses and so on. And there's a website that you can download Windows 10, but it's not 1511. Now, 1511 will enable you to do the upgrade, but it's 1607. In other words, this is the anniversary version that was released the last day of July of, you know, July 31st. And with this, you can do an install and... you can do a brand new install. You can do a complete new install. You can do an upgrade. And I know my son said to me, wow, how did that happen? Well, what Microsoft did was that if you go to this website and it's a big, long URL. I think I'll just mention it once. And if it's too long, you can go to our website, pcradioshow.org. I've asked Michael, our webmaster, to post the two tech tips, okay? This is one of the tech tips, which is what is the URL to go to download Windows 10 version build 1607. So I'll read it off, but if you find that you can't catch it, you could either go to a podcast.
Before you give that out, let me ask you a question. If I download 1607, put it on my machine, will that be updatable? Well, in other words, if Microsoft releases another update, will this be able to take it?
We don't know, but we know that it does work. In other words, even if you buy a copy of 1607, you don't know whether Microsoft will charge or say it's a free upgrade. And I'll tell you what the answer probably is, okay? It'll probably be a free upgrade for one reason. They're pushing very hard to get everyone to Windows 10. And right now, the installed base of Windows 7 is somewhere between 45 to 50%, so it's a very high percentage. The installed base of the Windows 10 is somewhere in the high 20s, like between 25 to 30%. So they want to get that, you know, at least to the 50% mark. And so when Windows 1607 came out, or when I say 1607, I mean build 1607, that came out a month and a half ago, they decided to make it free because that's how, you know, they're really encouraging people. At first they thought about maybe a slight charge, a little fee to it, but they didn't do that. Now, it turns out that if you go to this site and it knows that you're running Windows 10, or at least you are trying to run Windows 10 with the version you have, and it senses whether you're running 64-bit or 32-bits. It also senses whether you're running Home or Pro. And based on that information, you go to the website and it says you can download Windows 10, but the Windows 10 version build 1607 matches what you have on your machine. In other words, there are four versions. What you get is the one that matches on the machine that does the downloading. Now, once you have this downloaded, it's an ISO file. And I'll talk about how do you, you know, create a install on that. You take this and you can install it on a virgin drive, a virgin hard disk drive or virgin solid state drive. You get the full Windows installation and it's activated. A full, clean installation activated. Do you hear that, Joe?
Is it the same version that you have on your home machine, or is it an upgraded version?
It's, if you do a clean install, you get the upgraded version. Now,
so no matter what I'm running now, that would turn me into Microsoft Windows 10.
In other words, you're really right. What you're getting is the equivalent of Windows 10 with SP1. That's what the equivalent is. Okay.
But Windows 10 Professional, not Home.
No, if you have Pro, you get the Pro version when you download it. If you have the Home version, you're locked into downloading that which matches your system in terms of Home or Pro, 32 or 64 bits.
Wasn't there a way to upgrade yourself to Pro?
Well, that's different, okay? Let's not confuse people with that, all right?
I'm already confused.
No. Now, let me just go over one more thing. What you get is a clean install of Windows, but I do have a recommendation, okay? What looks like a clean install may very well be 100% clean. What you should do is go to Control Panel and go to Device Manager and look at all the devices. If you see any yellow triangles, you know what I mean by yellow triangles, right? In other words, you don't have the matching software drivers for some selected device. What you then do is you go to the manufacturer of the equipment to download those software drivers. Or if you happen to when you buy a machine and you have these hidden partitions and it happens to be a Windows 10 machine or it could be in one of the hidden partitions you have the software drivers. So, but more likely than not, you just go to the manufacturer and download the software drivers. Now, I'm going to disappoint you. There's one thing you don't get with Windows 10 from Microsoft. Are you ready for this? I know that you're disappointed to hear it. You don't get the crapware and you don't get the bloatware that came with the original manufacturer's equipment. I know you're disappointed not to get it, right?
How much time do you spend on average removing that stuff from a new machine?
Too much. You're laughing. You know what? You don't realize that, and as you probably know, earlier this year, Lenovo slapped down bloatware that turned out to be malware without realizing it, you know? And what it is that they're looking to, you know, make every penny they can. You know, what happens is, hey, listen, can you load my software? I'll give you a dollar for every machine you put it on, the way they look at his income, but they don't realize people don't like the bloatware. You know,
they realize it, Hank, in most cases.
You think they do?
Their other choice is to charge a great deal more for the computer.
Listen, you know, they've been dumbing down.
It's true that you and I and folks like us, the one thing we don't really consider when we're doing evaluations of all of this is what is the profit model for the manufacturer. And if they're willing to put on the amount of software that will that they can charge other people for, they deduct that charge from what they would have to pay, charge for the machine. You can understand that, don't you?
But do you know how much grief they are causing? Because I'll give you an example, okay? Was it Fujitsu started this number of years ago with a Life series, all right? Is that, you know, in originally, if you buy a system, they put the operating system on floppy diskettes so you can reinstall it. So when it got bigger, they put it on CDs and DVDs. That's fine, okay? And then Fujitsu put all that stuff onto a hidden partition on the hard disk drive. And there, you know, when they did this, what they said was they saved themselves a dollar because they don't have to go through the manufacturer and the media cost to give you the distribution disk, okay? And so once one does it, the other one follows suit. And what happens is that when it's a hidden partition, most people, when they buy a new machine, and, you know, I tell them the first thing you have to do is when you, you know, initialize the machine is save the hidden partitions. I would bet you that 90% plus people on the new machine do not save the hidden partition. Okay.
Actually, Hank, the only two new machines I've looked at recently, I mean in the last 2 or 3 months, all that in the box with the computer was a green slip of paper saying, this is your quick startup, here's what you do. And when you get started on that way, it automatically backs up your hidden partition. Now, you can skip the procedure, but it takes extra steps to skip it. So I would think that most people, if they're getting that kind of a machine, and I think most manufacturers are following that procedure today, they're automatically going to get a backup.
Well, first of all, you know, when they talk about you should copy out the hidden partition, and then the next level in the evolution of the distribution is that they limit how many times you can do it, okay? In other words, they put a counter of 2 or 3. However, I've been able to hack into that and just change a counter to 99, all right? Okay. Now, you know what the latest rendition of the hidden partition is? They lock you from copying it out. And then you ask them about it, say, oh, send us $20 and we'll send you the distribution. In other words, it's another source of income.
Yeah.
And
but remember, every source of income you give to the manufacturer is holding down the retail price. Now, it might be a lousy thing to do, and maybe most of us or some of us would prefer to pay an extra $100 or $200 up front. And maybe they should give you the choice. Some of the apps or some of the things you get onto your smartphone, you're given a choice of paying a little bit extra and not getting the advertising, or paying a little bit less and getting the advertising, or getting it free and getting the advertising. This is consideration, Hank. You can't just tell a manufacturer, hey,
now, Joe, I don't agree with you on that, okay? This dumbed-down process is not, it degrades the integrity of the system, all right? It really is because, you know, I've complained to you back in, the early 1990s with the first level of might be before that, all right, the dumbed-down process of eliminating the parity bit in memory.
Yeah.
And just to explain what the parity bit is, that, you know, you have 8 bits to a byte, and they added the extra bit so that the total number of 1 bits is either odd or even, and when it's not odd or even the way it's specified, you get an error. Without that, you don't know you have an error. And one of the most common things that people tell me is that, gee, they're running and they get the blue screen of death, right? You probably heard of that, the blue screen of death. And the reason why you get the blue screen of death is you're branching off into nowhere. In other words, it's an illegal address. The worst part is it's data, and you're processing data incorrectly because it's, you know, like instead of having a 9, you drop a bit, you get an 8, you know, something like that. So
On that, I completely agree with you. The difference between having a parity bit and not having a parity bit is infinitesimal in relation to the whole cost. But here what I'm talking about is not an infinitesimal change. I'm talking about a company having to charge several hundred dollars more for a product because they don't subsidize it with what we call crapware and what they call sampleware.
I would say the crapware and bloatware and so on creates a lot of problems that causes people to go to the help desk, and that in turn actually increases their cost.
The way I understand it, I'm putting words in your mouth, you would rather if they raise the retail price as much as necessary in order to not put crapware in.
No, I think they have to do a true analysis. It may be the same cost if they don't have to. I'll give you a good example. Okay?
I assure you it is not the same cost because they're getting income back from the people who are building the crapware. They're keeping that income. If they want to not charge for the crapware, then they would have no need to put it in.
Well,
it's so absolutely clear. I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm saying most people agree with you, Hank. It's just that it doesn't make sense.
Let me give you a good example, okay? Some people, they could buy a new machine and they say, gee, it doesn't seem to, it runs slow. I know why, because almost all of them has an antivirus program installed on it, and it's set up to, it uses half the resources the way they set it up initially, and it slows down the system. And you get rid of it. And Windows 10 already have Defender on it. There's a firewall on it. I mean, why do we have all this redundancy?
We don't have a lot of crapware on Windows 10 that is redundant. We have different programs completely.
Well,
it's a pain in the neck, but I don't agree with you that it's unnecessary to the well-being of the manufacturer, because if the manufacturer can't make a profit, then he's going to stop making that item, and you might want that item.
Well, you're talking about wanting that item. Last week, I was talking about bare-bone systems, and one of the advantages of a bare-bone system is, it's like cooking, okay? You go from restaurant to restaurant and, all the taste tests and so on. Well, you could cook your own food and pick the ingredients you want and as fresh as you want it and with the best grade you want and so on. With a bare-bone system, it's pretty easy now. And with the basic, what they call the basic bare-bone system, you only have to add three or four items to it to make it work, which is really, you're not really assembling it. You're just putting components in. One of the components is the CPU. And the other one is the memory. Of course, you need memory on it.
Wait a minute. You're not assembling it. You're simply assembling it. Is that what you just said?
I've had people tell me they built a computer, and I would say, you built a computer. How did you build it? Well, I bought this bare bone kit, and I put these four things in it, and I'm saying, oh, okay. And
let me ask you: have you ever bought a IBM or a Lenovo or a Hewlett Packard computer?
Of course, I have.
And have you ever opened the box and found that it did not contain the CPU, and it did not contain memory, and it did not contain a hard drive?
Well,
but that was all in a separate box.
Yeah, Joe. You know what this is like saying, like people cooking, okay? It's you could have a ready-made pie crust. You didn't go through the process of, or you could say you make spaghetti. You didn't have to create just buy a box of spaghetti, put it in the water as opposed to...
Stay with the first item, the pie crust. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy the pie crust for X number of dollars, a dollar and a half, a dollar and three quarters. Or you can buy the flour and the baking soda and the baking powder, and you can also buy the butter or the lard or the Crisco, and you can put it all on the kitchen table and pound it out and do it the right way and make yourself a pie crust, and it's going to be a lot cheaper. It's going to take you 2 hours.
But it
but
also
it's going to be a lot cheaper.
However, anything that is custom, you build it the way you want. Now,
I'm agreeing with you. It'll be better. There's no question it'll be better. But if it's going to be pre-made, you're going to pay for it.
Well, let me just talk about bare bones for a moment, because I had a couple of people email me. Two, three of them are very happy with what they put together because they're able to pick the component they want. For instance, if you want to buy a desktop or a notebook, you know, if it's a hard disk drive, it's normally 5,400 RPM. If you want a 7,200 RPM, you're going to have a hard time finding a model with it. But if you put a you put the components together yourself, easily just go buy a 7,200 RPM hard disk drive. I mean, that's an example of it, okay?
I'll give you a better example, Hank. I put together, it was more bare bones than they give them today, but I put it all together and plugged it in and was looking at a doorstop. Nothing lit up,
well,
nothing happened, nothing worked.
Well, I'm going to tell you how you should do it, okay? Now,
let me tell you how I solved the problem. It was very easy to solve.
Yeah, I know. I got a phone call from you in the middle of the night.
That's right.
let me just say that, you know, most people don't realize that there are different grades of hard disk drives. They come with, you know, like even with Western Digital, they have 1-year warranty, 3-year warranty, 5-year warranty. How do they decide what drive is a 1-year, 3-year, 5-year? They do QA on it. And when those that pass a certain level test, at the highest level, there's a 5-year warranty. Those that barely pass the lowest level, they become 1-year warranty. That's how they grade their drives, okay?
And it's no guarantee your drive will go down in that period of time. It's just that they're saying the average for that drive. That's all.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, with you, Joe, it's very easy. If it's warrantied for 1 year, it's good for 1 year and 1 day, and then you're going to say, damn, it's out of warranty.
And I buy accordingly, because I expect it's a sad thing for me to say, but I expect the worst from the manufacturers. Well, I don't trust any of them.
There was one person I got back to, and I explained to him that, you know, you buy a bare-bone box, okay? First of all, you have to understand the specifications in the box. And there's a certified list of components that's recommended by the manufacturer of the bare bones box. In other words, I'll give you an example. Like there's certain memory chip speeds that it is compliant with. Yes, you can buy a slower one, you can buy a faster one. Most time it will work, but if it doesn't work, it didn't meet those standards. The other thing is the support chip itself. You'll find that the advantage of a bare bones, and I happen to love this with bare bones, is you can always change a processor to a faster processor if you need a faster unit. You don't have to go buy a new system. That's the advantage of a bare bone.
What was another bigger advantage from what you've told me in that you can specify what you want in it? It's very hard for you right now to go out and buy a fully assembled machine with a 400 gigabyte solid drive and with eight gigs of memory and, you know, making it very top of the line. It's just not there.
By the way,
you can put it there.
When I talk about bare bones, okay, one of the most popular bare bone manufacturer is Intel. In other words, they give you virtually the whole thing, and you just got to put a few things in, and it comes with a processor, or you can get it without the processor. So, you know, we're not talking about a white box item. We're not talking about a brand X item. There are brand name items that you can get as bare bones. Now, let me just tell you that if you do get a bare bones, first of all, if it doesn't have a CPU, put a CPU in it. And if it has a CPU, the next step is install the memory. And then after you install the memory, stop. Don't do anything else. Connect the keyboard and monitor it, fire it up, and see if it works. If it doesn't work, okay? Now, how do we mean by it doesn't work, okay? Dead screen, okay? So long as you know you have a good keyboard and monitor you're working with. Or you're trying to bring up the BIOS. If you can bring up the BIOS, which is a setup screen, fine. If you get past that, then you install the next component in, which is the hard disk drive. What I'm driving at is, when on a bare bone system, do not put everything together at once. Because if something doesn't work, and it's only one item that doesn't work, you don't know what it is when you put everything together. My recommendation is always build out. Now, I know that, when I was doing a lot of this diagnostic work for Joe, he was wondering, what am I doing? Because I seem to disassemble everything, and I build up one at a time. That's building out. Because if you try to diagnose a problem with everything in it, it's very hard because you have so many components. You don't know which component is causing the problem. And sometimes what looks like the component that is faulty is not the problem. It's just a symptom caused by another faulty component. Right, Joe?
That's absolutely true, particularly when it comes to memory. Your memory might show up as bad, but it's not the memory's fault. The memory is still good. The thing to keep in mind, as Hank said earlier, you know, don't or stay away from the white box models. But that's not really true. But what I will say is true, and Hank will disagree with me, is stay away from the whole concept unless you're really willing to get your hands dirty. If you don't understand what Hank was just talking about, then let your friend build it for you.
Well, let me just say this, Joe, that there's an advantage to putting a bare bones together because it gives you a better understanding when there's a problem. Really, I mean, you know.
Yes, it does, and that's why I built mine, and I watched carefully as you debugged it, and when you finally found the error, my reaction was, oh, how stupid of me.
By the way, one of the things that I get a big laugh of is that on a bare-bones system, I said, make sure the CPU is in, and you put in a memory chip, and if it doesn't work, maybe just stop and take out the memory chip and reseat the chip because sometimes it just doesn't go in the right way, okay? So this is what I mean by, you know, do one step at a time. If you throw everything in, it doesn't work, you don't realize that you didn't have the memory chip seated properly.
Right. The manufacturers over the years have been trying to make it easier and easier for us. You don't have all those hundreds of pins to be careful about on the, like on the Pentium chip. But you still have to be careful. And one bent pin, one unseated.
Oh, Joe, component. You haven't done it recently. Now it's a big change. In the old days, the processor had all these pins, you know, like a hundred, you know, a couple hundred pins, okay? And you have to make sure that they are correctly lined up, seated in. And I said to myself, this is stupid, okay? Because all you have is really a contact point on the processor, which is very tiny, a contact point on the, on the board itself, and if you manufacture it properly, contact point to contact point, why are we trying to stick like a needle through a hole and line up all these stuff? Now Intel has done it the right way, where you look at the CPU, they have no more a pin sticking out. The contact points, stick it in, and then you clamp a spring over it, so it's tightened, and guess what? It's in. You don't have to worry about lining it up again. You didn't know that, huh?
No, I did about the current models, but not about the one that I built.
But Joe, I remember used to drive you crazy because in the old days, you know, the memory was really, you had to put a whole lot of memory chips in. And in your office, when your light was low, I just closed my eyes and put the memory chips in, and you're saying, what are you doing? I says, I'm putting the memory chips in. He says, can you open your eyes? I says, no, I could fit it in with my eyes closed.
His point was seeing it confused him, but he knew what it should feel like.
Hey,
sometimes it's an advantage to have bad eyesight, but not usually.
We're running out of time, Joe, so let me just do a little wrap-up, okay? And just tell your friends that we are on PRN.FM, and if they don't have a radio or if they don't have the access to the internet, they can get us on the phone. And the phone number is 712-775-6850. There are 11 other numbers, and you can look it up on PRN.FM. And, we're on a on this time frame. And although we invite people to make phone calls, I find a lot of people, perhaps at this hour, they're in a car. And, I can understand when you're driving home, you can't, don't talk while you're on the phone, while you're driving, okay?
Well, in case they're home and the next week they want to call in, what number would they call?
Well, it's 888-874-4888, and I just want to tell everyone that on podcasts, go to prn.fm. The podcast is there because I know many people tell their friends it's there. And if you have a little trouble, go to pcradioshow.org and we'll direct you there. And we got to sign off, Joe. And thank you very much for joining me this evening for the Personal Computer Show. And thank you. And same time, same channel, same station, whatever you want. We'll, just remember one thing. Back up, back up, back up.